And now I'm joined in the studio with Karen Meehan. I'm going to talk a little bit about the forget-me-nots, also a little bit about reminiscence, and also about making hay. Good morning to you, Karen.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, tell me a little bit about, there seems to be a lot going on here. Tell me a little bit about making hay.
Okay, so making hay is an all-inclusive theatre company, and it's by all inclusive I mean it's dementia inclusive and wheelchair friendly, and it's intergenerational, and it means everybody is welcome to come and share in a little bit of theatre. So my interest has been in theatre since the 80s in amateur drama, and when I got involved with the Forget-Me-Nots as a founder member. My sister Orla Horn set up the Forget-Me-Nots choir, a dementia-inclusive choir. And the reason for that was our mum, Kathleen, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And Debbie's looking at a picture of my mum. And gorgeous woman, Kathleen. Actually, my mum and dad met while they were rehearsing a play. Can you believe it?
So it's in the family.
My dad, Gerry Tierney, or Garrodo Tierney, as he was known, was a radio broadcaster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, in as it was Radio Éireann, right in the early days. And so he had a couple of different shows. He was bilingual. He had two shows in Oscailge. So one was Ceolga Fáistí, another one was Planctí Garóid. So we grew up in our house, radio was always a huge medium, and Dad was either on the radio or he was getting ready for a radio show, and he had a stopwatch that we weren't allowed to touch. Pain of death, because he would time every single song, and he'd introduce this song in English, and then he would say what the song was, Oscailge. So, and then he would introduce the next song. So, it was bilinguality was a huge thing with Dad. So he was an actor. He was a civil servant. That was his day job. But he was an actor.
He did a lot.
He did. He was always busy. Yeah. Great fun. Very gregarious. He wrote, actually, his claim to fame, I suppose, is he wrote a play, Oscailge, with a friend of his, Martin Dempsey. That was the first. It was on in the Abbey Theatre, and it was the first play that was on for its first showing, Oscailge, and then was translated back into English and then brought back again. The False Stuart was the name of the play.
Yeah.
So in English. So Dad died very suddenly 40 years ago.
So he's quite a young man.
He was 54.
Very young.
He was 54. Which is kind of mad because I'm 54 now.
I know, yeah. So am I.
It's mad. But when you reach the age that your dad died at, you're kind of thinking, I feel like I'm only just starting.
It's mad. There's so much more you want to achieve. It's very young. And he died very sudden.
Very sudden heart attack. He went to bed on a Saturday, didn't wake up on a Sunday. It was as quick as that. Oh, 1979. Yeah. So Mam and Dad had been, our house was always the house of parties. There was always a bit of crack going on in our house. Our dad was a great storyteller. He couldn't sing a note, but that didn't matter. He tried anyway. Our house was the house of parties. Like it was back when nobody had any money. So people, when house parties, before they were even probably trendy, our house was the house that neighbours would come into.
The Hoolies.
There was always a Hoolie in our house.
We used to always have a Hoolie as well. But the thing was, like in that generation, they loved their singing. And I know we love music. I love music. But I remember my mum and dad as well. They were great singers. And the Hoolies every Christmas and all the neighbours that come in. It was great.
Yeah.
It was a great community as well. Like, you know, the neighbours knew each other.
And they knew their party pieces.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd see somebody coming into your house and immediately going, hope you got your party piece ready, you know. And you weren't allowed to leave the house till you'd sung your song or done your... there was a neighbour of ours used to call it a recitation. Yeah. Until you did your recitation. And so I suppose that love of storytelling was with me from an early age. I was 13 now when Dad died. So there was a big gap there, if you like. It was kind of like, it was weird, Debbie. It was like the lights went off.
And it's a horrible age. Like you're just in your teens, turning into teenager, and to lose a big part of your life. You seemed like a big character.
The fun was gone from being such a huge, vibrant house full of songs and stories to being very dark. And I don't mean dark as in depressing, but it was like the lights went off. And then, I mean, obviously life went on and things picked up and everything was grand and it was great again. But the parties weren't certainly there. So what happened then was, and I remember vividly, Mam when the first grandchild was born, actually it was mad, there was five of us, there still are five of us, thank God, mm-hmm. in our house. Four of us got married in 1 year.
Oh, yeah, God, that's bad.
I know. Because Mam had spent all her time saying, will one of us, some of you please, you know, one of us just get married, have babies, I'm dying to have grandchildren. So anyway, four of us got married in 1 year, and then 13 grandchildren literally came like buses.
One after the other.
Sometimes two together, you know. Yeah, there was, you know, sometimes there was 6 weeks between different, you know, and it was a really fun time. I remember that. The eldest of all the grandchildren now is 25. And I remember that as being a really fun time. And I remember vividly Mam laughing her head off when the grandchildren were all born. And it was the bit of crack, and then the parties were all starting again. Great. And I remember, because I hadn't remembered it as it being missing until it was replaced.
I know. It must have been very hard for your mam to lose. You know, I spoke about this yesterday to, you know, when somebody dies and the grief and, you know, the loss of losing a loved one. But to lose a loved one through kind of just very sudden, tragic, it is tragic. Well, any death is tragic, but very sudden death can be very hard. It's like a shock.
And, it is a shock, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's horrible. I've lost my own dad through that as well, very sudden, tragic accident. And you're not expecting it. When someone's in the prime of their life and very... with it, I'm very walking and having a great time, and then just gone.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it is, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Now, and I've lost two parents in totally different ways. Like, Dad was young and it was sudden, and then Mam was 89 and a half. And it was, you know, she had Alzheimer's for 6 years, and she was very ill towards the end. Two totally different experiences. Very different. And then people have asked me which was worse. They're both worse.
Yeah, true.
Because
you kind of lose that person, I suppose. And what were the first signs that you noticed with your mum? Like, she had all the grandchildren and everything was going well. And
everything was great. Everything was fun. And all the kids, like, mum's house was the epicentre, and we all lived nearby. We still do. And so mum's house was the meeting house, you know, where we always did, the kettle was always on, there was always a bit of crack, there was always at least one or two, or if not six or seven or 13 grandchildren.
Well, that's great for your mum to have all them people around her.
It was wonderful. We were all there, and so those kids all, like my kids and my sister's kids and my brother's kids, they all grew up together, so they're as close as brothers and sisters, even though they're cousins, you know.
That's great. Yeah,
which it's wonderful. So what we noticed was that And I noticed it. There was a few different things that Mam was forgetting. And, you know, and I'd say to her afterwards, you know, a day or two later, you'd be back down having a cup of tea. And I'd say, do you know so-and-so did such a project in school or whatever? No, I didn't know that. I said, yeah, do you remember? We were talking about it and she was doing this project about climate change. Yeah, no, I must have been in the kitchen at the time.
Oh, right.
And there was always, and she was a very clever woman, you know, there was always, I was in the kitchen. There was too much noise. I was minding the baby. Or, you know, I wasn't there. I was putting on a dinner. You know, there was always a reason why she wasn't remembering the story. And kind of went along with that for a while. I think, God, was she in the kitchen? No, I remember she was there because she was very animated when somebody was talking about it. And then my youngest lad had taken up the trumpet. He was learning the trumpet, and then she'd forgotten, like, he had brought the trumpet and played it and everything, and she'd forgotten that he was there, forgotten about the trumpet. It was like new news. So these were all things that you kind of go, oh God, they're all flags.
And would you have known much about dementia before this?
Not a thing.
No.
Not a thing. It was never in our world. We never even discussed it because no one in our house had dementia, thank God. So it was something that we didn't know about. And I remember, for me, the big moment was we went to the National Concert Hall. Now, Mam was a great woman for going out. She'd want to go anywhere, to a play, to a show, to a musical, to a gig. You know, she just loved getting dressed and going up to a live show. So we were at the National Concert Hall 1 December. I'll never forget. It was Wednesday night. And it actually was a friend of ours was singing on stage that night. And she kept saying, God, he's a great singer. You must find out who he is. And I go,
oh, really?
Oh, Mam. And then at the break, she says, and I said, are you enjoying yourself? She says, I'm having a ball. She says, we must find out who that fella is. He's great. I go, oh.
And this was a friend of hers.
Yeah. So anyway, that was, for me, was the moment. So I texted the rest of the family. We very close, and I said, I want to bring Mam for a memory test because I'm not happy. And as we were going around the National Concert Hall, we had the break, and she was going, isn't this place fabulous? Look at this, isn't this gorgeous? Where are we? And like, this was a place she was very familiar with.
Yeah.
And it was like she was seeing it for the first time. Now, she wasn't distressed at seeing it for the first time, but it was the first time. You know, oh my God, look at this, the luxury of it, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm there going, oh, Mam, you know, you've been here before many times. So the very next morning, I went to the doctor with Mammy and she did the memory test, and sure as eggs were eggs, there was a dementia diagnosis there.
Now, can they tell straight away from the test what is dementia?
Michelle could, yes. There's a series of tests. Now, I'm not sure how other families get the news, but for us, like, one of the memory tests is you're given three things to remember. It could be something like apple, book, yellow.
Yeah.
And you're told those three things at the beginning of the chat, and then you go on and you talk about completely different things. And then one of the things you have to do is fill in, you know, that you're given a blank piece of page, and you're you have to fill in a clock, and you have to draw 4 o'clock, and it's to see, does 4 go into the right place, or does sometimes 4 gets reversed and goes into where 8 is. And then sometimes the hands of the clock aren't quite, you know, there isn't a short hand, there isn't a long hand, you know. But these are all skills that you would have had that are very visible skills. So anyway, and at the end of the whole thing, which maybe is 15 minutes long, you're asked, well, what are those three things that we talked about earlier? And she's going, what?
She couldn't remember.
She didn't even know there were three things. It wasn't even that she was struggling to remember the three items. It was hot, you know. And not a bit distressed. Like, she wasn't, Mammy was never distressed by her illness.
Did she know herself?
I think she did. Yeah. I think she did. Yeah. And because she'd say things like, oh, am I losing it? And we're going, ah, no, you're not, ma, you know. So anyway, Orla, one of my sisters, who is very creative and a great problem solver, Orla said, OK, right, you know, we've got to find a different way to connect with Mam, because her short term memory seems to be gone. But she can still remember loads of things from way back when. And, you know, one of the things she loved doing, if you took out, there was a drawer we had with knitting patterns, you know, she'd know exactly which ones she knit and which ones are too difficult and which ones are too easy. You know, she could actually...
She'd know that going back from years ago when she was knitting. All right.
But the 5 minute ago conversation, that was gone. So that was a very interesting thing for us learning, you know, how can memory be like that, that you can't remember 5 minutes and yet you can remember
years ago,
complete detail from years ago. So Orla then, around this time, we were at sea and very much, oh my God, what's happening? You know, there's something really happening here. And so Orla was listening to the radio one day, and there was an interview about this New York choir called the Unforgettables. And she heard about another choir that was based on the south side of Dublin, and she rang up the radio station afterwards and said, can you give me details about this choir? So she rang them up and she said, would you mind if I brought my mum over? And they said, well, where do you live? You have to be in the parish. And she says, well, we're based in Baldoyle, and no, you can't, you have to be in the parish. So anyway, Orla said, right, I'm going to set up my own choir, as Orla would.
Great, yeah.
And she did.
Brilliant. And we all know from the big TV series that was on a couple of weeks ago, Brendan Grace, the Forget-Me-Nots.
Yeah.
And that's what she set up.
That's what she set up. So it started as, it was literally a sing-song around a piano. There was Mam and her really good friend, Claire Ring, who lived across the road from her. Mam and Claire were neighbours and friends for 61 years.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
And Claire died 6 weeks ahead of Mammy.
Oh.
I know. It's sad,
but nice in a way that they kind of went
lots
together.
Lots of comfort there. So Mammy and Claire were great buddies always. And in fact, one of the volunteers in the Forget-Me-Nots is Claire's daughter, Rosie. And myself and my other sister, Fiona, and Orla, the three of us are there as well. So we were kids who grew up on the road. So we're still volunteers in the Forget-Me-Nots. So when Mam died, which was in June 2016.
So... We're going forward.
Go back, sorry, yes. Yeah.
No, that's fine. When she was diagnosed and did this, the choir set up, as she was coming to probably to the end of her life, did she get a lot worse?
Oh, she did, yeah. Yeah, she got better before she got worse. So when the Forget-Me-Nots was set up, so it's nearly 6 years in operation now, so next March it'll be 6 years. So when it was set up, first of all, Orla's ambition always was it should be dementia-inclusive, wheelchair-friendly, everyone's welcome, there's no charge, you know. And we were thinking, how can you set up a choir with no money? She says, oh, it'll come, you know, people will donate and people are good, and when they find out, you know, what it's all about. So we got a small grant from Fingal County Council to start with, which was fantastic. And we got from HSE a small amount of money as well as a pilot project. And they're very good for startups. Now, you know, for lots of choirs, the startup part is probably the easiest bit.
Yeah.
Because loads of people have energy and loads of enthusiasm. It's keeping it going is the thing.
Exactly.
So you need, yeah. So it's like any other organisation. Loads of people have really good ideas and they want to make it happen. But the key is to try and continue it and to sustain it. Yeah, well, there's, you know, to run a choir, you need a really good choral director. So we have an amazing choral director in Nora Walsh. She's a composer and music director. She has a number of choirs. She's an astonishing woman. She is so talented. And she is integral. So other people have been asking us, how do you set up a choir? You know, how do you get the forget-me-nots off the ground? You need to find somebody really talented and passionate and somebody who absolutely embraces the whole thing, that it doesn't matter that you have dementia, that you've forgotten 5 minutes. You still have a skill. You still can learn. And, you know, what we're constantly amazed that Nora keeps pushing us. She, you know, she's teaching us a French song. She's teaching us Barcarolle in French.
And do you actually sing in the choir as well?
Yeah.
Now, I know it's for dementia mainly, but it's for kind of any old people, is it?
It's for everybody. Everyone. You see, this is it. A lot of people come and you'd hear them, because we're based in Baldwell Community Centre, which there's a lot of offices upstairs. So there'll be people kind of hanging around the stairs and coming in saying, can anybody join or do you have to have dementia? And, you know, of course you can join. Now, actually, we're full at the moment because we've got a waiting list. The whole Brendan Griggs documentary has been phenomenal.
And it was a brilliant documentary.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. It was incredible.
I was laughing. I was crying. I was just so emotional. It was great.
I know, as were we.
I'd say as well, to have it, to be there in real life and to go to it. And all the people, I mean, God, they were amazing. The women,
Stunning. The woman
that's in her 90s, the men, like, with dementia, and you know, you forget, like, do they remember the words of the songs?
Completely.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like,
and the gas thing is, if in the choir, it's kind of made up of, there's about 150 people there at the moment with a waiting list. Oh God, it's like a cast of thousands. But in the choir, it's about a third. So there's about a third of the people there have dementia, have the condition. Mm. Another third would be carers. So they would be husbands or wives or daughters or sons or neighbours or best friends who come and bring that other person who has dementia. And then another third are made up of volunteers or people who just would like to sing. So there's loads of people like me who just love to sing and love to sing old songs. And so the people, you know, oftentimes people say, how do you know which ones have dementia? I said, you don't. Once you walk in the door, you're an alto or you're a soprano or you're a tenor or you're a bass. You are completely graded as if you were in a different choir or any other choir, you know, on your ability to sing high or sing low. And that's the only ability people are worried about is, you know, do you sing the high notes or do you sing the low notes? Which makes it a really equal place for people to come to. And it's wonderful. It's a break, because when husbands and wives come in together, you'll often find in the first week or two, and you notice, you know, the stress on somebody when they're coming in the door, first of all. Mm. And they're very much, well, we'll just come and we'll observe just for today, and I'm not committing to anything, you know, there's all these, I'm just looking and I'm not sure.
I'm not going to talk, don't involve me.
I won't give you my number, you know, and all this. Now, we do obviously have to take numbers because, you know, for health and safety, we need to know who's in the room and so on. But you'll find within about 20 minutes people are there and they're laughing and singing. And, you know, we'll try and split up couples as well, in as much as the men love sitting beside themselves, because the men would take maybe a verse and all the men would sing whatever part. Mm. And then the ladies would, you know, take a different part, the altos and the sopranos. And the way it works like that, Nora is very good on voicing. So when she has the men together, it actually gives a break. So say the man is the guy who has dementia. That for an hour and a half, that woman has a break. So she's sitting beside other women who some have dementia and some who don't. Doesn't matter. It's a break for her. It's time alone. So she gets to have her cup of tea. We always have a cup of tea halfway. So there's a lovely cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit. And it's a chance to chat. And people chat very freely about dementia or not.
Yeah.
But we found that there's a huge support network. Everybody has become great friends.
That's great.
Yeah. The lovely thing about it is, now we're kind of 6 years into it, so people die, as they do, as my mum died and Claire died and lots of other members who die. They're encouraged, the person who used to bring them to choir is encouraged to come back.
Oh.
Yeah. So
even
that's,
if they're not involved with the singing.
Absolutely.
Just come along.
Come back. You know, so they still get solace, they still get joy, they're still singing, it's still a day out. And we find lots of widows and widowers and, you know, sons and daughters will still come back and still participate and still want to be volunteers, still want to help. And it's really unifying because it's a very safe place. You know, there are certain songs that as soon as the opening bars are there, you're going, oh, no.
Well, you know yourself, a song can bring back so many memories.
Completely.
You know, because, oh, my God, that reminds me of my dad, or that reminds me of a Christmas. And it is, and it'll bring you in a moment of either kind of, you remember a person, you might get sad for a little while, or where you're a happy time. It's, I think music is just absolutely brilliant for moods and, you know, uplifting you. So in this forget-me-nots, the choir, you say you have a break. How long does it go on for? 2 hours?
It's an hour and a half. So the break is 15 minutes. And then one of the hardest things, Debbie, is trying to get people back after the break because people are done
chatting away.
You know, but it always ends on a song. So, and then Nora is great for introducing the party pieces. So whatever is the hard learning, you know, it's 11 o'clock till 12. So there's hard learning. So barcarolle in French or harmonies for where we've two gigs coming up. We've one tomorrow night in Care Choice Nursing Home. It's a mass. It's a remembrance mass, which is a beautiful remembrance mass. Some of our members come from nursing homes and have come from Care Choice and still do. So we sing in their memory every year, and then we've another gig coming up on Sunday in the Phoenix Park. That's the remembrance run. It's at 11 o'clock in Phoenix Park.
Oh, I read that out yesterday on our community notices, and there's a night as well. Now, I know this is pre-recorded, so when I'm putting this out next week, this is not going to be relevant, but there's a night to remember loved ones as well in the Alex Hotel.
Oh, I heard you talking about that one. Yeah,
so that's on, that's really good as well. So do you have to have a voice to join?
No. Not at all. Now, you just have to like singing.
Yeah.
You know, and
even if you can't sing.
Even if you can't sing. And it doesn't matter. Everybody can sing. Mm. You know, and the really good singers, you know, that last bit after the cup of tea, that's like the party piece. Now, this is the bit that reminds me of what it was like growing up in my house, is that everyone does a turn and they don't have to, but there's a few people who really have their hand up saying, I'll do one. This is when the party pieces come out. So you have, you could have, you know, If I Were a Rich Man, we've got a gorgeous member, Dermot, who is a fabulous singer. He actually sang with Pavarotti, believe it or not. Yeah.
Ooh.
He's astonishing. And his daughter, Joyce, is has just visited from Australia. She was home for a couple of weeks. So Joyce has been coming to the forget-me-nots on a Tuesday to see her mum and dad. And then Joyce yesterday, what we didn't know about Joyce was that she sings in Les Mis in Australia.
Oh, lovely.
Isn't she only one of the leads?
Oh,
and didn't she just do an amazing, you know, the master of the house?
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so she just gave us a gorgeous rendition of that as her parting gift before she went back off to Australia again.
That's lovely. That's so great to have.
It's
do you know, it's great to have people that come and surprise you like that with their wonderful voices.
Yeah.
But it must be such a great outlet, I said, for the family of the person as well who's suffering. Dementia, just have that little break,
yeah,
a sing song,
yeah.
And I said the TV piece with
Brendan Grace
was gorgeous. It was absolutely brilliant, and that should be really, I suppose, that will be kept for years and years and years, and
I hope
archived
so.
And
I
played
hope
over
so.
And over again. Yeah. It was absolutely brilliant. So at Christmas now, do you do a thing for Christmas? And
very much so. We
just get out and about at all?
Yes, we do. We have actually, I'm really glad you asked me that, because we have some lovely gigs coming up. If you go on the Forget Me Nots website, forgetmenots.ie, we have a very active Facebook page and we have a very active Twitter. Fiona, my sister, Orla's the girl who set up the choir. Fiona's amazing digital marketer. She does all the media, all the multimedia, and the social.
It's great.
It's fantastic. Well, do you know what's so wonderful about that? Because when we started off saying, should we put it on Facebook? Fiona was saying we should put it on Facebook. And we were going, God, they're not really the right demographic for Facebook. Mm. You know, I know Facebook is older, but, you know, 80s and 90s. But what we have found is that for nieces and nephews and grandchildren who are living in Canada or Australia or South Africa, they're able to hear Uncle Des doing a solo, and they're able to, because we put, whenever there's a lovely solo, which is every week, we put it up on our Facebook page. And then you can have these lovely nieces and nephews saying, great solo, Des, you know.
Brilliant. That's
so they're
great,
connected. Yeah. So this is a lovely way, and this is how you can use social media in a really positive way, and also for news that's coming up. So we have a lovely Christmas carol gig coming up in Insomnia. It's the last Saturday of November, so it's the 30th of November.
Okay.
So that's from 11 till 1 in Insomnia.
Which Insomnia is that? In Valdoyle?
Sutton,
okay.
So that gig is a gorgeous one. We've been doing that every year, and that's really wonderful. Now, when we did the live singing with all the superstars, like Dickie Rock and Sandy Kelly and Lisa Lamb and all these brilliant people, Mike Denver came out to Baldwin Community
Centre. Is he any relation to Mike Denver. No, it's not Mike Denver. No, that's his nephew. I said, no. I don't think it is, ma'am, because we were looking, no, definitely is. No. So he's not.
But it's not a bad thing to be, you know, when you're a good singer called Mike Denver, it's not a bad thing to be connected with John Denver.
Yeah, John Denver, that's what it is.
Yeah, not a bad thing. So anyway, the superstars were all asked to sing a song from our songbook. We have a songbook with hundreds of songs in it that we've collected over the years of, you know, and people often ask, where do we get the songs from? From our own members. So like Des might have suggested Side by Side, and somebody else might have suggested, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. They'd come in, you know, it'd be a lovely sunny morning. Actually, Claire suggested that on Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. And it goes into the songbook. So the superstars are giving us the songbook and they said, sing something from there because they're ones we all know. So Mike Denver was having a look through this and he said, Grace, I've never sung that before. And it was the connection with Brendan Grace. And it just seemed like a nice song to sing.
Lovely,
and
yeah.
So he sang it and that was in the documentary. He said, I've never sung this one before, but I'm going to just give it a go. And he sang it and we knew this one. So we had harmonies. We'd got alto harmonies and soprano harmonies and the men had a lovely line in there as well. And it just sounded beautiful.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's we have members from St. Michael's House and from L'Arche and from nursing homes, and we have some members who are non-verbal, which they listen.
Lovely.
And you get just as much crack, because you were asking earlier, Debbie, do you have to have a voice? You just have to be able to enjoy it. And it's so nice. There was one of my favourite parts of the three-part documentary. I think it was in episode 3, where one of our lovely members, Vonnie, was sitting beside a lovely lady called Yvonne, and she's mouthing It's a Wonderful World, you know, that last line of that song, What a Wonderful World. And you can just see her mouthing it, and the two of them have the most beautiful beaming smiles, and that was caught on camera, but that just caught a moment. Those moments happen every single Tuesday for an hour and a half, every single Tuesday. It's just
but
wonderful.
It's new, at least a life for a lot of people, I'd say.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, just even that hour, and it's only an hour. Would you ever think of starting another choir on another day? So because you have so many people now wanting to join, or would it be too much?
No, what we're hoping is that other people will start other choirs on a different day. Because the forget-me-nots is a ton of work. It's fabulous, but it is a ton of work. And it's one choir, and there are so many gigs that we have to manage, and there's a lot of fundraising that we need to do. So we're always mindful that we have to keep going out there, shaking the bucket, still asking for donations. Just while I'm saying donations, there we have a lovely website with it has ways to donate. Yeah. We've had gorgeous people have actually a lovely guy donated the proceeds of his 21st birthday.
Oh, that's so nice.
Isn't it?
21.
And do you know who that lovely person was? My nephew.
Oh, well done.
Yeah,
that's
because
lovely.
It was Gran's choir, and he said for his 21st birthday, Jerry Dunn is his name, and instead of asking
that's
for
lovely.
Presents, he said, please give some money to the Forget-Me-Nots. So good old Jerry Dunn, thank you for that.
Oh, that's great.
We've had donations from 60th birthdays, 70th birthdays, and a 90th birthday. You know, people who said, I don't need or want anything. Can you please, whatever money you were
and
going
to spend.
A lot of
people are doing that now, donate to. And it is a great idea, even for Christmas.
Yeah.
Even people who, I have everything, I don't need it. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Donate to the
Forget-Me-Nots. The candle you were going to buy me for 20 quid. Yeah. Can you please just give me.
Exactly. When you're looking at it, Karen, you're giving some person out there who's probably not seeing people from one end of the week to another. At least a life for an hour and a half on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably their social outlet. They're meeting up with people. So it's a brilliant, brilliant idea. Now, we have to finish. I didn't really think we were going to talk for that long. Before we go, is there anything else you want to...
Yes, there's a booklet that I've written, which is called Finding the Fun in Dementia.
Okay.
Which sounds like a mad title, because dementia is, you know, it's a serious disease, and 55,000 people in Ireland have it, 500,000 families are affected, and it is, when you get the news, it is awful.
Did you ever, before you go, did you ever look into how you think your mother developed dementia? It wasn't in your family. Do they ever find out why some people get it? Is it still with keeping your mind occupied, not occupied?
I don't know is the answer to that, but what I do know is that Mam's mind was very active. She was a great one for Scrabble, crosswords. She was a great reader, French verbs, Irish, you know. Mam could teach you the Gamo Kneeluk in 5 minutes.
So she was well occupied.
Sharp. Yeah. It's a disease like any other. Some people get it, some people don't. They say it could be genetic. I don't know. Maybe that's my huge interest in dementia is, you know, I think If it is something that is genetic, and I don't know whether, I know some the dementia is an umbrella term, and what Mam had was Alzheimer's. So there's vascular dementia. There's, you know, there's Alzheimer's. There's loads of different types of Lewy bodies. There's, you know, there's loads of different types of dementia.
There seems to be a lot, and I wonder why. And I've heard, because I know of two people at the moment who have dementia, but one in particular is related to me, and they seem to be going back to say 30 years ago.
Yes.
And they can tell you everything, yes. Like, and thinking she's going to work. And you'd wonder why it goes back to a certain period in your life.
Yeah, well, the way it was explained, now I'm no expert on dementia, I'll just put it out there, but the way it was explained to me about Mam's Alzheimer's was that it was like a plaque on her, growing on her brain. And her short-term memory was, if you like, I suppose you could compare it to dental. You know, that if you have a plaque growing, it's blocking that little piece
like
of your
the
tooth.
The arteries in your heart,
exactly.
I suppose, yeah.
So, and it's the short-term memory is the bit that goes first. And then, you know, so Mam could clearly remember stories from when she was in school and her first communion and all of that. So Mammy was 89 and a half when she died.
89 and a half.
I know.
Oh my God.
We had a giant party for her 89th birthday. You know, this is the whole thing of, don't be waiting for the 90th, for goodness sake. You know, enjoy each birthday. So we had a giant party. It was in my house. There were, I invited all my cousins from, they came from England and Cork and Limerick and Kerry, and everyone was there. And Mam was there. And we actually brought her birthday forward to January. Her actual birthday was in February, but we just wanted to make sure that she was well enough to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then she was going, "This is a great party." She says, "Is it my birthday?" We're going, "Yeah." She says, "What date is it?" And we say, "It's the 12th of January." "Is that my birthday?" You know, and she knew enough to know that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
But she was, there was a cake and there was people singing happy birthday. She was really happy to go with this. But it was a wonderful opportunity. So I suppose if there's any message, enjoy the moment. It was a wonderful opportunity for us all to have this fabulous party, that everyone had their poem or their story or their sing song. It went on. We had brought it forward to the afternoon. We started at 2 o'clock. We said Mam might get a bit tired.
Yeah.
And you know, and we wanted maybe to finish about 5 o'clock because she'd be exhausted. It was 2 o'clock in the morning.
And was she still there?
She was life and centre and soul of the whole thing. It was fantastic. So I suppose that the whole, the little booklet, Finding the Fun in Dementia, is there's a little glimmer of light in every illness and in dementia. It's if that person can only remember stories from way back, go back.
Go back with them.
Yeah. Go back. If they want to talk about what it was like in the emergency, go back. If they want to talk about what the fashions were like in the 50s, go back. Mm. You know, if they want to talk about something that they want to talk about, doesn't matter what you want to talk about 5 minutes ago. That's really not important. You can talk about that with anyone.
So the book, Finding the Fun in Dementia, where can people pick this up?
Okay, so the book is sponsored by Engaging Dementia and Home Instead Senior Care. And it's available on my website, which is makinghaytheatre.ie, makinghaytheatre.ie, or you can get it on Engaging Dementia website. It's free to download, completely free. There's loads of lovely tips in there, things to do, making a scrapbook or making memories, arts and crafts, going to DIY, you know, do a little bit of make, do and mend, DIY. Particularly on a wet, rainy day like today, how are you going to spend a couple of hours? How do you fill it? Okay, there's about 70 different ideas you can
have
in there.
Great, so there's loads of tips in here then too. And if you want to actually get the book, if people aren't online, can
it's
you buy it?
You can buy it. It's €5 and you can buy it from the Engaging Dementia website.
And that's just engagingdementia.ie?
Engagingdementia.ie.
Okay, Karen, we'll have you on again anyway because we'll be seeing a lot more of you.
Great.
And we'll have a little chat. And
lovely.
It's great talking to you.
Thanks for having
me
on, Debbie.
Karen.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.